Hey everyone, Arjuna here. Before we start the podcast, I just wanted to announce that we're going to hold the second annual Probably Jam, a game jam held by the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Check the link in the description for more info and how to sign up. And the theme is, if you can smell that fat, you're not far enough apart. Shout out to the Lebanon Main Fire Department for this meme. And now, our feature presentation.
Good morning. Oh, sorry for the coughing. Sorry. I've got a bit of a sore throat. I've had a bit of a cough recently. God knows what it is. Don't think it's the virus, but you know, I've got something. Anyway, so it's not going to be quite my normal voice. But I'll do my best.
Hey, listeners. Welcome to another episode of FOTSCast. I'm your special guest, Maine State House District 112 candidate Pete Bourgelet. Yeah, Arjuna thought it would be kind of cool if I came on and did an episode of the show. Some of you longtime listeners of Probably Work might recognize my voice from an old episode of Too Young for This Hit, which I think is now like Too Young for This Trek. Is that right, Arjuna?
Yep.
Yeah, where Tyler watched Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah, that was kind of a prank that Arjuna pulled. He kind of thought that it would be funny if I came on and talked to Tyler about the film.
Yeah, and I had some special settings set up on my voice modulator for Peter's voice when he came on, but I forgot to turn it on before the call.
Yeah.
So that's how we wound up with Pete's voice that you're hearing now, and here we are.
Yeah, he filled me in on, like, his Doom map and, like, and some of his other game developer pals, like, I knew about JP Liberton from his PlaySki engine because I used it for some photography I did for the Phillips Art Show. But, like, he, Arjuna, told me about that other developer. What was her name? The hentai doctor lady?
Nina Freeman.
Nina Freeman, that was her name, yeah. So, Arjuna tells me you have a list of questions here. Okay, yup. This first question is from Troy. What is the best sushi? Man. I have not had as much sushi as I'd like to eat, Troy, but I remember when I was a student at UMass, there was like sort of an Asian section of the cafeteria at this dining hall I went to, and they had like a nice selection of like pickled ginger and wasabi sauce to go with it, and like, you know, I think salmon or shrimp or one of those two fishes, and a nice sushi roll with some pickled ginger. That shit's delicious, dude. Next one is, would you rather live in an airship, a ship, or a submarine? I'm afraid of heights, so an airship is probably out. A submarine, it's kind of the other end of it in my head. It's so claustrophobic, and like being that far underwater just feels like a coffin almost. So, yeah, I don't know. Houseboats, they're cool. Yeah, I'd like to live in a houseboat someday, so let's say a ship. His next question is, how many Skittles do you think you can fit in your mouth? I am very glad you asked that, Troy. So, I have measured out a bowl of 60 Skittles, and I've also got another package of these that I'll open if somehow miraculously I can fit more than 60 Skittles in my mouth. Why don't I just open it right now? And like I said, I'm a candidate for the Maine State House of Representatives, so of course I'm going to use this as an opportunity to talk about some of the issues I'm running on, and one of them is expanding healthcare coverage. And so Arjuna has a little spiel that he's put together, well, that really we've put together, to talk about adding dental coverage to Maine Care, which is not covered under Maine Care. Maine Care, duh, for those of you not in Maine, is our state's Medicaid program for low-income folks. So yeah, Arjuna's going to talk about adding dental coverage to Maine Care while I try to figure out how many Skittles I can fit in my mouth. So take it away, Arjuna.
And yeah, listeners, he's giving me the mic.
Okay, do you got it there?
Yep, it's steady.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up a Maine Beacon article that he's going to reference. You got that? Yeah, you can scroll down. Okay.
Okay, so Pete had two articles from the main beacon that he wanted to summarize here. And the first is about the first of two bills that I'm going to talk about that have tried in the recent past to add dental coverage to Maine care. So the first was LD 1453. And what happened there was it was competing with a whole bunch of other progressive priorities for some of the increased revenue coming in to the state budget. And because Janet Mills, our governor, has decided to keep tax cuts that were put in place
Business.
by our previous. Do we have to bleep that? I mean, it's not worse than most of what Paul LePage has said, but anyway, our last Republican governor, Paul LePage, for those of you who don't know, was kind of the early alpha build of Donald Trump slash Boris Johnson. He, in many ways, kind of put Maine on the map rather infamously for some of his rather out there statements. And so it just didn't make the cut when it got to the Appropriations Committee in the legislature. However, as the article points out, during budget negotiations, the dental benefit was completely removed from the bill and replaced by a provision to establish a working group which would be tasked with further investigating the need and implementation of the dental coverage expansion. However, a couple of months after that, advocates for the bill learned that Governor Mills would be withholding her signature from the law to establish the study.
Little bits of tin.
Okay, we definitely have to bleep that. So she wouldn't even have a study to figure out how to expand the dental coverage. Like, maybe you can defend only having so much room in the budget. I get that. Pete gets that. Oh, okay. Looks like Peter just emptied the bowl of Skittles and he's opening up a second pack. Okay, let's move on to the second article because the story is not over yet. There was another bill, LD 1955, that would have done the same thing. And in this article, it even has some even worse statistics about the state of dental care for low-income folks in Maine. For example, there's a link to a study here that shows that Maine has some of the lowest access to oral health care in the country. It's one of only 13 states that do not cover dental care under Medicaid. And they have a study here from 2010 that shows that dental pain is the primary reason Maine care recipients between the ages of 15 and 44, so that's people in their prime working ages. Oh, okay. I think we have a Skittles total here. 65, he just wrote down on a piece of paper. There we go. Anyway, that's people in their prime working years visit the emergency room. You know, Republicans go on and on about trying to put people to work and creating jobs because tax cuts solve all the problems in the world. But why aren't they funding dental care so that people can do their jobs and think about anything other than their toothaches? And yeah, I said that like Janet Mills is a Republican because 5, 6, 7 times out of 10, she acts more like a Republican than a Democrat. She's a Democrat in the Amy Klobuchar sense of the term. The kind when push comes to shove, she will take the right wing line. Anyway, the bill, as it currently stands as of this recording, has been carried over to the next legislative session after the coronavirus pandemic has died back enough that the legislature can come back. Whew, I'm about as angry about this as you are. And with this second bill, it points out that there are three main sources of opposition to the bill. The governor, again, the Appropriations Committee, again, and the few legislators who think that we just can't afford it. If you look at the positions that Pete's Republican opponent, if he's the nominee, has taken, he probably does oppose adding dental coverage to Maine care because he was against the Medicaid expansion when Paul LePage was governor. We can't be totally sure because neither of these bills have come up for a roll call vote in the House or Senate, so he hasn't, you know, publicly taken a position via a vote on it, but sure looks like it. Okay, it looks like Pete's done with the Skittles. I can't believe he swallowed 65 of them. All right, probably work. Giving the mic back to Pete. It's been weird.
So there you have it. 65 Skittles. Man, I am gonna be really wired for the rest of this podcast episode, probably, but I have several bones to pick with Governor Mills. That is one of them. And hey, while I know I just dissed Governor Mills in a major way, it's because we're fundamentally on the same team, and I honestly expect better of her than I do of the Republicans. And one way in which she has performed better than the Republicans is in her coronavirus response. She is doing an excellent job as is Dr. Shaw at the main CDC, under a federal system that seems to be distributing PPEs and other vital equipment in this crisis based on how much Donald Trump likes you, which is absurd, but she is still doing the best with a bad situation. And now back to the show. Thank you, Arjuna, for reading that while I was stuffing my face. And let's go back to your questions. Tyler asks, what song do you sing in your head or out loud while washing your hands to ensure you've washed for 20 seconds? And then Troy adds to this, and why is it Mr. Brightside? sorry to disappoint you, Troy, but it is not Mr. Brightside. But why don't I show you guys by taking you over to the bathroom while I wash my hands, courtesy of Arjuna's smartphone here.
Okay, let's see. I'm in the bathroom. Is this good audio in the bathroom? Probably not. We're in the bedroom.
I don't know why I closed the door. Force of habit, I guess. And of course, the toilet is very prominently displayed with a full roll of toilet paper. Wouldn't expect anything less from Mr. Gonzalez. Okay, now, to do justice to this question, well, with COVID-19 wreaking havoc everywhere, I think what I should do is probably read the hand-washing instructions off of the CDC website, just to make sure we get this right and we don't miss anything. So, step one, wet your hands with clean running water, warm or cold, turn off the tap, and apply soap. Two, lather your hands by rubbing them together with the soap. Lather the backs of your hands, between your fingers, and under your nails. Under your nails, that I do miss that a lot, so not this time. Three, scrub your hands for at least 20 seconds. Need a timer? Hum the Happy Birthday song from beginning to end twice. We're going to use a slightly different song for this one. Four, rinse your hands well under clean, running water. Five, dry your hands using a clean towel or air dry them. This is not a restaurant bathroom, so I don't have an air dryer, but I do have a towel. Okay, I'm just going to put down the phone here, and let's hope I can't goof this up. I am running as a Democrat. I am the nephew of a union steward. So this goes out to all of the brothers and sisters and non-binary people at the main AFL-CIO, the main SEIU, the folks at Game Workers Unite trying to unionize the game dev industry, and everybody else trying to protect and advance the rights of working people in the state of Maine. It's Solidarity Forever, as performed by Pete Seeger. Oh, that's right, I have to get to the scrubbing step first. Okay, my hands are wet. And then, let's see, I'm on the lathering phase right now with a bar of soap. Okay. When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong. Arjuna, Robo Gonzalez!
Solidarity forever! Solidarity forever! Solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
Okay, so that's going up on Spotify, iTunes. Okay, and back to the questions. Okay, Tyler says, I have logistical questions about composting the rich. Well, I don't know about that, Tyler, but I will tell you what my recipe for the Berkeley composting method, which I know Arjuna has done and he's shared about in the Discord a couple of times. It's 2 10-gallon buckets of chicken litter. And when I say chicken litter, I, just to be clear, mean the straw that I put down on the bottom of the chicken coop that the chickens will poop in and scatter seeds around and stuff in. And it's really good for this. And then on top of that, you throw about the same amount of green matter, which is like grass clippings from the lawnmower. And I use chicken litter because it's very high nitrogen content, and so that makes it a lot more useful for composting. So you layer the chicken litter and the grass clippings on top of each other, and you water it down as you layer it because, well, in my case, the chicken litter is really dry when I put it down, until you've got half a cubic meter-ish of material stocked up. And then you throw on top of that some kind of high nitrogen something. Now, that could be a dead rabbit or a dead skunk you found on the road, although sometimes it might not break down fully and that can get kind of gross. Or a slaughtered rooster that isn't Handsome Harry, maybe? Something that's definitely going to decay and has a lot of nitrogen in it. And then on top of that, or, you know, if you don't want to get animal remains involved, I've seen some people use plantain, so that's an option. And then you build up on top of that more layers of chicken litter and grass clippings until you've got like one full cubic meter of material. And you leave it to stew for about 4 days. It's going to heat up pretty fast, and you should water it down every once in a while during those 4 days. And really, like, day two or three, like, I'll stick a meat thermometer in there to gauge the temperature, but, like, by day two or three, you will hear it bubbling. And so after 4 days, you should turn it over with a pitchfork, leave it for a day, next day turn it over, leave it for a day, and continue this for about 18 days, and you will notice the breakdown as it decomposes until, yeah, around day 18-ish, it'll look like compost, and you'll be ready to use it. That 18 days, a lot of this is sort of influenced by climate, so up here in Maine, things will take longer to break down than they will in a place like Florida, so your timetable may vary. But that's the recipe of the Berkeley compost approach that I've used and Arjuna's used, and yeah. Next question, also from Tyler. How do you feel about Tom Brady leaving the Patriots? Oh, man. End of an era, dude. End of an era. Like, I remember being, like, 15 years old when the Patriots first won the Super Bowl. And yes, my voice stopped changing. And, like, all through the 90s, when Drew Bledsoe was quarterback, like we came so close and lost to the Green Bay Packers back in the 90s to finally see that first Super Bowl victory, and way, way, way beyond that, when we were like the top team in the NFL for so long. It's just, you know, people speak like this about breaking the curse of the Bambino, and yeah, I love my Red Sox too, but like that first Pats Super Bowl victory back in the day is just so much of a bigger deal for me than that. But yeah, I just did some Googling now to find that Tom Brady's been traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and good for them. To be honest, I don't follow football as much as I used to, and I forgot that the Bucs existed. And from what I've read, they've struggled to attract talent as much as we did back in the day, so good for them. Although I still hope the Pats make it back to the Super Bowl, so Next question from Tyler. Also, how do you feel about UBI? I'm going to repeat what AOC said in a tweet a couple of days ago. Was it a week ago? Man, when you run for office, you lose track of time so easily. Which is that, you know, there's two ways to go about UBI. Universal Basic Income. There's a left-wing approach and a right-wing approach. The left-wing approach is you have UBI in addition to the existing social safety net programs that we on the left have fought for decades. The right-wing approach is what I'm afraid the Republicans are going to try to do with UBI over the next couple of years, which is use it as an excuse to tear away of what is left of the social safety net in this country. You know, we were just talking about dental coverage and Maine care. If we had a limited UBI program here in Maine, for example, I could see the Republicans, people like my Republican opponent, if I'm nominated, Tom Schofield, saying, oh, well, now that we have UBI, we don't need to offer dental coverage. They can pay for it themselves. like you could start seeing paid sick leave rolled back or any number of other programs at the state and federal level. I would support a limited UBI program in Maine, but not if it's done as a way to try to undermine some other programs that we have here. And you should have a listen to Andrew Yang's Chapo Trap House interview that he did while he was still a candidate, because they ask him some very important questions about what a UBI would mean for programs like Social Security and cost of living adjustments and Social Security disability payments. And his answers, let's say I didn't like them, and they sounded a little hand-wavy about the full repercussions of what that would mean for people whose basic needs really do depend on these programs. Next question from Tyler. How many rolls of toilet paper do you have? Well, let's use Arjuna's smartphone again to go check. Okay, there's two bathrooms in this house, so I'm going to check the downstairs bathroom first. Yeah, we've got one by the toilet that is very full, so I'm going to count that. Yep. And there's a package of them down here. I count four rolls in there, so that's five downstairs.
Boy, I sure am minding my own business while Pete counts toilet paper rolls. Oh man, is that Evan's obsidian blackboard? Is it time for a promo?
Check upstairs. Okay, I'm in the upstairs bathroom, and oh boy, we have a lot of rolls of toilet paper up here. So there's a full pack of them here that hasn't been opened yet, and that's 12. And I see one on top, and the one under it, yeah, also hasn't been opened. So, let's see. That's 25 rolls of toilet paper upstairs. And what did I say? Five rolls? Hey, Editor Arjuna, why don't you give me the final count? I can't do addition and record a podcast at the same time.
It's 30 rolls of toilet paper, 5 plus 25. By the way, if there are any voters in Pete's House District, he can do math. He'll be able to follow, you know, complicated budget discussions in Augusta. He just can't do it while recording a podcast at the same time. So, back to the show.
Cool, thanks, dude. Okay, Bill from RPG Golden Years asks, what is a quantum tent pole? I have no idea what a quantum tentpole is, Bill. I'm gonna ignore the obvious
gibble gabble gob went the rickety rackety roo
joke here, and say it's a tentpole. A tentpole is a pole that is in superposition, so it is in a state of both propping up a tent and not propping up a tent at the same time. Yeah. So. The next question, comes from Evan. Let me make sure I'm still recording. Cool. And it's addressed to Arjuna, but I think most of these are addressed to me, right? Yeah, okay. What is the funniest thing you have ever walked in on Harry doing? So, you want to take this one?
Sure.
Okay.
We used to have a couple of roosters before Handsome Harry conquered the backyard, so to speak. We had a couple of barred rocks who were living in chicken tractors that were within sight and within earshot of him. And we would let all of these chickens out to free range in the backyard and stuff. And yeah, there were these two barred rocks that were especially interested in Handsome Harry's hens. So they would go chasing after the hens, and Handsome Harry would, of course, try to chase them away. And it was kind of funny watching him, like, first chase away one Bard Rock, and then have to go back to his other sweeties and chase the other Bard Rock away. And he's going back and forth trying to chase all of them off. I don't know. Handsome Harry is just, like, a 24/7 TV show when it comes to different chicken antics. But I think that's the funniest one that comes to mind. How about I handle the next couple other questions?
Yeah, you should definitely handle the other Harry questions. Okay, cool.
Okay, Evan's first question is, how many times has Harry gotten out? So he's in a fairly secure area with his chicken coop, and then there's like an orchard area around that that's fenced off with chicken wire. I will often let him and the hens out to free range for a little bit, but as far as he is like straight up escaped, like he and his hens have like snuck under the chicken wire, which does happen, especially since they scratch under it. I'd say like a dozen times, something like that, last year. It's probably not going to be that many this year because I have had some trouble with various furry predators looking for some KFC with other chicken flocks that I have here. But yeah, that's my number, about a dozen. The next question is, how many times has he raised hell after getting out? So, in Harry's orchard area, I don't really have anything planted that's, like, susceptible to chicken damage. There's an area outside the chicken orchard area, which is a little kitchen garden, but that's also fenced in. So for him to really raise hell, he has to not only escape the chicken coop, but walk all the way over to the kitchen garden and get in, probably, like, suspecting that I've got a treat. Because I'm out there or whatever. And that does not happen a whole lot. So I'd say 6 times in the last year, tops. Probably more like 3 or 4. Next question. How would you rate his hens' eggs? 10 out of 10. Because his hens are the best kind of free range. They've got a wide variety of stuff in their diets. Their yolk isn't like a pale yellow like you get in the store or anything. It's a nice rich orange. And then Evan, thinking a little bit about the question he just asked, asks, wait, do you eat his hen's eggs? Is that weird for you? Well, yes. Let's put it this way. His hens don't seem to notice or take any offense if their eggs mysteriously disappear when they're not broody and trying to hatch out a chicklet. So they don't seem to mind. So I don't mind taking and processing them. Yep.
Yeah, so this next one from Tyler. Would you consider getting a tattoo with ink made from your own poop? A tat-poo, if you will. And then Evan says, would you consider getting a tattoo with ink made from someone else's poop? Say, Tyler's poop, if he died or something, and asked you to get it tattooed on your skin after he died, his poop, would you? I probably messed up the inflection there. That's a confusing sentence.
Inflection is, like, the least noteworthy thing in this question, man.
Yeah, right. If he died or something and asked you to get it tattooed on your skin after he died, his poop, would you? So it's extra gross, it says poop after he's died. But anyway, should I be reading all of this out as a political candidate?
I mean, you're not drunk dialing state representatives and calling them homophobic slurs, so I think we're in the clear.
Tyler, you are misinterpreting the question. The question is, would you eat a sandwich composed of mayonnaise, my ashes, and one slice of bread? Then once my ashes come out of you as a poop, you get that turned to ink and then have a tattoo done using it. And then Evan writes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You said sandwich or your poop. Not your ashes in my poop mixed with mayo. And then Tyler has a screenshot in the Discord where I guess they've really fought this thing out and they have their little side conversation going.
I mean, Pete, you're literally co-hosting this podcast with a guy who made a game with a room full of toilets in it. You signed up for this.
I sure did. Tyler says, I'm being cremated, so if I die, I want you to take a piece of bread, slather some mayonnaise on it, take a pinch of my ashes, sprinkle them on the mayo, then roll it into a taco shape, no need to waste 2 slices during the apocalypse, and eat it so that we can always be together, or at least until you poop. And then Evan writes, it took every common sense fiber of mine not to say it. Oh, can I do all that? Then cremate the sandwich and use it for ink for a tattoo that will always be with me? I don't really like mayo that much. And then Tyler writes, Ranch isn't a... Blah, 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 blah. It's hard to pronounce everything correctly in a conversation this absurd. Tyler says, ranch is an acceptable substitute. I'll allow you to cremate the poo and use it for a tattoo ink. r/thisismylifenow. Tyler writes, the record speaks for itself. Then Evan writes, dang, it was my poo the whole time. Okay. Super Arjuna butt, would you theoretically eat a mayo and Tyler Ash sandwich, then cremate the poo and use it for a shitty tattoo? You can't see the face I'm making, but I'm looking at Arjuna like, what the
armpits
f*** have you gotten me into, dude?
Yeah, I love you guys, but a tat poo is just a bridge too far. A poo too far, if you will.
Yeah, that's gonna be a hard no from me, too. You know, when Tupac died, some members of a hip-hop groupie was in, smoked some of his ashes in a weed joint. Now, recreational weed is legal in Maine. I'm not saying I would, but I don't know. What do you think, Arjuna?
Yeah, I'd smoke an Evan or Tyler joint, as long as there was no poo involved.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, are there any other questions? Okay, cool. I think that's everything, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so we're going to do the hanging with Harry part?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool.
Okay, before you go out with my smartphone, for the listeners, this is the first time we're recording a segment where Pete takes my smartphone and records with it. You've probably heard the other segments afterwards. So, just a note, Pete, be careful with this app on the phone that says Area 51 Voice Modulator, okay? If something goes weird with the settings in that app, it could lead to weird disruptions in the podcast space-time continuum, aka Back to the Future shit, but weirder.
Okay, sure, dude. Okay, listeners, what we're gonna do now is review a steak bomb sandwich from the local bowl here in Phillips. It's a sandwich made out of, like, slices of steak and some veggies and, like, sometimes mayo or oil on it, and I have it in the fridge because I could not get around to this yesterday. Now, what do I want to drink? Oh, wait a minute. Where did I put it? It'll be somewhere here in the fridge. Somebody take it out? No, it's still here. Okay, we'll be right back after I find the sandwich. Oh, all right. Found it. Now I'm just walking out to the coop. Yeah, there's still plenty of snow on the ground out here in Phillips. We had like, I don't know, 3-6 inches of snow and like half of it's melted. But the area around the coop is still pretty built up with snow. Alright, so, let's let you all out of the coop. There he is, the man himself, and his sweeties. Yep. You definitely want to get out and have some treats. Got to move this board out of the way. There we go. Yeah, it's open season for treats. And Harry, I got a special something for you. So why don't you come on outside? And there's a Rhode Island Red blocking me. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna scratch some hair, spread it around here a little bit. Although I bet you're gonna help me with that. Yeah, nice hay. Yeah. So I got the steak bomb right here. And
Got a Coke too. Little drink. See how that works out. Okay, yeah. Harry's doing his tidbitting where he goes, "Ooh, look at this, sweeties. I got a treat out here. Just for you." All right. So, Harry. Yeah, I got a sandwich. A human food sandwich, which is also a chicken food sandwich. He's just standing over there with the girls. Let me just have a bite of it myself. Mm-hmm. They see me eating and they see the food out here and then they come walking over. Yeah. But yeah, it's good even after a day or two in the fridge. Sliced up beef, peppers, cheese. Mm-hmm. So now let's throw some out for them. Yep, I see. Yep, there you go, Harry. Be sure to tidbit this. Yep, chicken approved.
Can you do that again for the mic, Harry?
I want to catch you with some tidbitting ASMR. Let's try this again. Maybe he's podcast shy. Yep. They go running around for it. Can I get anybody to peck it out of my hand? No? Yep, okay. This Rhode Island Red walks up to me. No nonsense, she just grabs it. It's really fun when you toss some food out to them and they just all go running for it. And if it's the right size relative to their beaks, they'll have like a chicken ball game where like one chicken will go running away with it. And then another one will grab it and run with it. It's chicken basketball. Yep. Oh, good. Glad to know we're on such good terms, Harry, that you'll peck something out of my hand. On kind of a makeshift chair here up against a board in front of the coop. Oh, shoot! There goes. I'm still okay. Oh, shit, I spilled Coke on Arjuna's phone. Okay. Let me just get the sandwich, move the sandwich over here. I know, he put it down. Can we get at it now? It's all wrapped up in that shiny stuff. Fuck. Okay. Usually if it's just water, it's not a problem when you spill stuff on electronics. As long as you're quick about wiping it up. Okay, so here's the big throw out.
I remember back in math class, I learned all sorts of important life skills, like the fact that you can calculate the length of a hypotenuse with the equation a squared plus b squared equals c squared. That's definitely come up regularly in my everyday life. No. Wait, no, it hasn't.
All right, now everybody's eating up the sandwich. So, Harry.
I was getting intimate with Arjuna's ears. Would you like to get intimate with Arjuna's ears?
We got a podcast thumbnail to make. Yeah. You know what that is? That's a selfie. Yeah, you're selfie worthy. You do a great job of preening. Because you're a handsome rooster. Okay, nobody's pooped in the hay, so I can lean onto this. Ah. Oh, don't worry, Harry. It's just a pick. It's just a pick. Don't worry about it. You okay? Tenderfoot?
You look a little slouchy. Alright. Come on, Harry. It's alright. Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll bribe you with a sandwich.
You can come over here and peck at it.
I'm not gonna wipe my ass with a corn cob. That's why I grew up. Why do you think they call it cowboy toilet paper?
See if you have problems.
Damn. Ah, you're off the frame. Dang it. All right.
I think that's gonna have to do for now.
Okay, I think that's gonna have to do. So enjoy your sandwich, chickens. And listeners, you'll hear from me again when I get back to the recording studio. So, bye.
And now we come to a segment I like to call Tom's a nice guy, but his voting record's garbage. Tom's a nice guy, but his voting record's garbage.
Tom's a nice guy, but his voting record's garbage. Tom's a nice guy, but his voting record's garbage. Tom's a nice guy, but his voting record's garbage. Tom's a nice guy, but his voting record's garbage.
Yes, Tom is a nice guy, but his voting record is garbage. Or Tang Befrig. A segment where I talk about how my Republican opponent, if I win the primary for this state house race, Tom Schofield, may be a perfectly nice, sweet old man in person, but when he goes off to Augusta, he casts votes that are absolutely heinous. And I'm looking at one of them right now. So let's talk about LD 766, an act regarding the Penobscot Nations and Passamaquoddy Tribes' authority to exercise jurisdiction under the Federal Tribal Law and Order Act of 2010 and the Federal Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act of 2013. So what this bill does, in summary, I'll give you a link to the full text, is it gives the Passamaquoddy and Penobscot tribes jurisdiction over crimes committed by non-tribal folks more in line with federal law than previously. It increases the level at which the tribe has exclusive jurisdiction over crimes, like for crimes that carry a higher possible prison term as well as fine, and it gives the Penobscot Nation concurrent jurisdiction, so their criminal court system can also have jurisdiction as well as the state court system for federal Violence Against Women Act offenses, so domestic violence offenses. And so this clears up some jurisdictional issues that can occur in domestic violence crimes perpetrated by non-tribal people on indigenous territory. And so it makes them easier to prosecute. And as this Maine Beacon article that I'm going to link points out, indigenous women are murdered at a rate of 10 times. 10 times the national average. And this vote came up on March 17th when Tom Schofield voted against it. He voted to table it. And he or some Republican is probably going to argue, oh, what does this have to do with the coronavirus? Well, think about the realities of domestic violence for a second. With everybody social isolating, they're going to be stuck in their homes. A lot of men and women out of work, maybe abusing substances. And for a lot of abused women, that is going to make a bad situation worse. It is just the height of ignorance of the realities of domestic violence in this country. First, to vote against a bill like this anyway. But second, it's especially bad to vote against it as a pandemic is brewing. So that's been another episode of Tom's a Nice Guy, but his voting record's garbage. It's unfortunately not the last episode, and we'll probably be back to talk about wage theft or gay conversion therapy or some other garbage that I dig out of this guy's voting record, so stay tuned. Okay, to wrap up the podcast, I'd like to take a couple minutes to talk about my background, why I'm running, and what my platform is. As far as my background goes, you know what? Why don't I do that backwards? Because I am running an issues-focused campaign, and I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired of candidates who draw on their personal experience to seem like they care about something, and then once you dig into their policies, you find out they don't really care about them that much. So here's what I believe, and then we can talk about the person advocating those positions. There are three main things that I'm focusing on. Of course, there are other issues that deserve attention. You heard that whole rant that I did about dental coverage for Maine Care. But there's three that I'm focused the most on. First, implementing the Maine Green New Deal. We were one of the first states to pass state-level Green New Deal legislation, and among other things, that created the Maine Climate Task Force, which is going to have some follow-up legislation inevitably that comes out of it, which will handle the green energy transition that we're aiming for, which I believe is to 45% below 1990 emissions levels by January 1st, 2030, and then 80% below 1990 emissions levels by January 1st, 2050. And I want to fight for them. I even think, honestly, that transition timetable probably isn't enough, considering how dire the challenge of climate change is. Maybe we need to figure out how to get there faster. Second focus is to better support local organic farmers. All over the state, we've seen shortages happening in supermarkets. And in New England in general, so much of our food supply is imported from out of region. The state has to do more to support local organic farmers, and it will also stimulate the local economy here as well. And finally, definitely not the most important point, is rural broadband. Now, Maine is very far behind the rest of the country as far as rural broadband goes. And in the last legislative session, there was a bill to appropriate $15 million to the Connect Maine Authority, which is a state agency that does grants to municipalities to build out rural broadband. And another $15 million in the form of a bond, which is going on the ballot, and you should definitely vote for it if you are a registered voter in Maine. But combined, that's $30 million. Now, the Greater Franklin Development Corporation did a study on what it would take to build out fiber optic connections in this whole region north of Farmington, which includes my house district. And they estimated the cost at about $60 million. So that's $60 million for a region that includes this house district versus $30 million that the state has been able to put together for the entire state. That is chicken scratch compared to the actual scope of the problem. And so a lot of the discussion so far in how to build out these networks has been in terms of private-public partnerships, which, frankly, if you ask me, is nice, polite language for a giveaway to the telecom companies. You know, the leading proposal to build fiber out in this house district involves a couple of USDA rural development grants and GWI, which is a regional ISP in Maine and I think in New Hampshire as well. And what they're proposing to do is to build a fiber line going up Maine State Route 4 all the way up into Rangeley, which is a significant tourist destination in this area. Now, GWI would build out the fiber line, and building the line itself would be funded in part by the grant, but the funding to actually connect the fiber line up to individual houses along Route 4 would be on the towns that the line goes through. And of course, here in Phillips, we have so much money swimming around in our municipal budget after we have to pave all these roads that are connected up to gravel pits and plow them every year and sand them and contribute our part to the school district's budget and also contribute to local charities like the public library. But GWI, they get a nice loan from the federal government, and they get to pick up a whole bunch of customers in rich touristy areas. You know, there are stories about how in programs created by the FCC to subsidize ISPs building out their networks, they often don't really deliver what they say they will when they write the grant applications and talk about what a great job they're going to do. Why not float a bond issue at the state level to create a publicly owned ISP? Now, whether it's municipally owned by the individual municipalities or it's a county level entity, that's a whole other issue. But create a publicly owned ISP in this region, north of Farmington, some of the revenues of which can go towards local property taxes. Now, this is a model that has been used in places like Tennessee and Georgia, where you just can't count on the ISPs to build out the infrastructure that these regions need. And if it's successful, maybe we can bring it to other parts of Maine as well. And I want to emphasize, I think fiber to the home is the only option here because of the kinds of use cases that that would enable. You know, the FCC lists, I think, the definition of an underserved community is something like connections where the fastest setup you can have is 25 Mbps down, 3 Mbps up. That makes live streaming very difficult to do. And we have all sorts of tourism operations across this House district, whether it's the Sandy River Narrow Gauge Railroad or events at the Phillips Area Community Center. Those events could be live streamed. They could be broadcast on Twitch channels that can take donations that go back to the organizations that run them or other local charities. And it opens up such a much wider audience of people to see it and eventually plan vacations to come here. We don't have to switch to an entirely non-tourism economy to bring good jobs and economic development to this district. It can be part of an ecosystem of various industries. But we have to bring this district into the 21st century proper in order to do that. And that's why I'm running. And as far as my background goes, well, for education, I have undergraduate degrees in political science and computer science from UMaine and UMass, respectively. I spent a couple of years working in the nonprofit sector on various issues like internet censorship, privacy, surveillance, mostly concentrated on ex-Soviet Central Asia. Figured out that living and dying by the grant application wasn't really my thing, so I retrained as a game developer, and now I work as a 3D environment artist and gameplay programmer for a video game company based in Portland, Maine. Proud to work for a Maine-based company. I'm the chairman of the Phillips Planning Board. I've been a member since 2015. I've been the chairman since 2019. The Republicans can't really attack me as being anti-business because I am struggling to remember a permit application that I have voted against. I have always done my best to work on the principle of balancing economic development in Phillips and helping people try to build and realize the projects they want to build while also having the proper concern for the well-being of the rest of the town and allowing people to quietly enjoy their property, which is not always an easy and clear-cut issue in a town that has several gravel pits. I'm also the co-organizer of the Maine Video Game Developers Meetup. We're the only meetup of its kind solely focused on game development in the state, and one of the things I like most about our work is that we're the Maine Video Game Developers Meetup. We're not the Southern Maine Video Game Developers Meetup, especially since so many tech groups tend to get focused in Southern Maine because that's where the people are, but it also emphasizes the very dire socioeconomic divide that exists in this state. And so we make a point to have a meeting as many times, or we did make a point to have a meeting as many times as we could outside of the Portland area before the coronavirus epidemic hit. We're now looking at totally online events, and so really, anyone around the state with an internet connection good enough to handle live streams, which admittedly is not as many people as it should be, I'm also working on that, can participate. And as far as Democratic Party credentials, I was 1 month too young to vote for John Kerry for president in 2004. I've been a registered Democrat pretty much ever since. I'll be honest, I was so disillusioned with the Democratic establishment in 2016 that I changed my registration to the Green Party out of spite for about a year, and then the Democratic primary for governor happened, and I changed my registration back. So, I'm as much of a Democrat as Bernie Sanders. Take that how you will. Yeah, and I've been in and out of various left liberal causes, not just the human rights work that I've done, but also various Democratic committees in Maine and Massachusetts since the mid-2000s. Probably will for a long time after this. So, if you live in any of these towns, let me pause it while I bring up the list, because it is long. Okay, if you live in Anson, Avon, Carrabassett Valley, Carthage, East Central Franklin, Freeman Township, Kingfield, Madrid Township, and yes, those of you not from Maine, it is pronounced Madrid here, even though it's spelled just like the city in Spain. New Portland, Perkins Township, Phillips, Salem Township, Sandy River, Starks, Washington Township, Weld. If you live in any of those towns in Maine, please get out and vote on June 9th. If you are a registered voter in this district, it does not matter what party you are registered in. If you like what I say, you can send me a clean election qualifying contribution for $5, and you can donate online at the link in the description. If you are a U.S. citizen but not a registered voter in this district, you can send me a seed money contribution of up to $100. And the way to do that is you send a check to Pete Bourgelet, First Maine House, to this address. 8 Pinkham Hill Road, Pinkham is all one word, so 8 Pinkham Hill Road, Phillips, Maine, 04966. And the Phillips is with two L's. That's up to $100. And as of this recording, I really hope some folks in this district are listening to this, because I have 22 qualifying checks, and I need to reach my goal of 60 by the deadline on April 21st. So if there's any chance you have a relative in this neck of the woods, send them this podcast, send them to my Facebook page, send them to my Twitter, let them know my message, and encourage them to send a qualifying check. I will be on the ballot for State House District 112, and if you are a Republican or an undeclared or a Green or some party other than Democrat... Okay, so while we have same-day voter registration in this state, which I will never, ever vote to get rid of if I'm elected state representative, there is a 15-day waiting period between when you change your political party on your voter registration and when you can vote in the primary of your newly chosen party. So, in order to vote in the June 9th Democratic Party, you have to get to your town clerk and change your registration on or before Friday, May 23rd. Now, it's important to note that not all town clerks are available 5 days a week, so you should definitely look into that at least a week beforehand, just in case something falls through. So, on or before May 23rd. Cool. All right. Oh, look at that. It's the time and space dimensional warp that Arjuna and Troy and Evan use. It's getting kind of bigger. Uh-oh, here it comes. I'm not supposed to get sucked into this. Arjuna, help, help. Anybody? Whoa! The internet is a weird place. People create personas because they want to project parts of their personality that they're too nervous to associate with the name on their birth certificate. Or do they? Who the hell have you been listening to this whole episode? Is it Arjuna? Is Peter Bourgelet Arjuna? Is Pete Bourgelet real? Is he an actor that Arjuna paid on Fiverr? Is he a character generated by the Evan, Arjuna, Troy, Bill, Hive Mind Super AI in collaboration with the Manatee Ball Pit from that one South Park episode? Is it Evan? Is it Troy? Is it the 2006 New England Patriots? You'll just have to find out on the premiere episode of Interesting People with Evan Tolley.
Do you like video games? Ever thought about making a video game? Do you find that a week or 2 weeks is kind of short for a game jam? Well, have I got the game jam for you? With the We Can Make This Work, probably game jam. The jam runs from April 20th to June 9th to provide a nice amount of time for you to make something cool. Check out the link in the description for more information and to figure out how to join and submit. Have fun!
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.